Welcome to the Matchday Podcast, your on-the-go guide to the game. Today, we will be focusing on the Reds' next fixture, bottom of the table, Sunderland. Welcome to Ben Hibbs and Mark Froggatt from the club website. So, we're back to the Premier League now, and the Reds travel to the Stadium of Light on the back of a solid performance in Europe, Mark.
Very solid, yeah. A confidence-building performance, I think, particularly at the back. And I think it's a solid foundation to bring into this game. I don't think fans need reminding that we've lost our two last games in the Premier League. And I was doing some research the other day. We haven't lost three on the spin since 2001, I think. So, I mean, you never want to do that anyway. So it's important to respond. And I think it's a trickier game than people might think. Sunderland are bottom of the league and they've got 1 point from six games. But they're a team that presumably will be galvanised by Paolo Di Canio leaving. So I think it's going to be a tougher game than some might expect.
Yeah, it's always the way, isn't it, Ben, when a caretaker manager takes over. In this case, it's Kevin Ball. They do generally get a reaction from the team.
I think, especially in this kind of scenario where there were obviously things that weren't right and the players weren't particularly happy under the last manager, I think when that manager leaves, it gives everyone a bit of freedom. So I think they're obviously out to prove that bad form wasn't down to them, it was down to the manager. So I think, like Mark says, I think it's going to be a tough one for us, but I think we've got to go there and really take control of the game. We built on some good things on Wednesday. Defence looked solid, but I think that we need to go there and show that we can attack teams and really take the game to them as well. So if we can do that, then I think that's it's just building on what we got on Wednesday.
Are either of you surprised that Di Canio was sacked? Just 13 games into his managerial reign?
I'm surprised he was hired, yeah. I'll say that much. No, not especially, because if you read and hear about what happened at Swindon, he's not particularly harmonious with his players or with his boardroom. In fairness to him, he kept them up, so you can't particularly argue with that. But there's things you've heard this season. I don't think the players were happy, were they? It's interesting, actually, because I interviewed John O'Shea in the summer for Rio Ferdinand's testimonial programme, and he kind of touched on it. They were in a training camp at the time, and I said, how was it? And he said, it's fine as long as you give him 100%, but if you don't, if you give him 99%, he takes you to the cleaners, and I'm not sure some players reacted very well with that. But John's a professional, and I don't think you would know if it wasn't amazing. But it's a funny one, but like Ben says, I think they will be galvanised by it. And players have a lot to kind of prove when a manager leaves. They're proud characters, so I think they'll put on a good show and it'll be a tough game.
They have signed a whole plethora of players, haven't they? Is that part of the problem? They've got too many new players trying to forge a team at the same time as trying to play under a new manager. It's just exuding chaos there, isn't it?
I think so, and then I think there's things like Lee Cattermole wasn't in the team, and he's obviously a key player for them. He's not every opposing fan's favourite player because he can be a bit dirty, but I think he is an important player for them. So things like that I just don't think work in your favour, and there was obviously too much sort of chaos going on there. And I think Di Canio obviously came in and kept them up. I can imagine him being quite an inspiring figure because he's a character.
In the short term.
So, but I think that it just makes Sunderland a dangerous side to play against. And I think you can look at the table and think that it's going to be, it's the perfect one to get us back on track. But
I'm just looking at the table there. They've played six, drawn one, lost five with a minus 10 goal difference. Anybody looking at that?
So that's ideal, you'd think. But, as we said against West Brom, people bring out these sort of statistics and you look at those things working in your favour, and it very often doesn't work out like that. So I'd like to see us go there and keep that sort of defensive solidity, because I think that's one thing that we've perhaps not consistently had so far this season. But on Wednesday, it looked a hell of a lot better. So I think that's something we want to take there and build on that.
I think the statistic we should take note of is the last two seasons we've been there, we've only won 1-0, and it's been very, very tough. So I think we should expect the same again.
Yeah, absolutely. How will Moyes approach that? I mean, he's not going to take it easily, is he? He's an experienced Premier League manager. He will know that this is a dangerous team and he won't take anything lightly.
I think we'll approach it much in the same way that we did with Swansea City on the opening day. I think it's a very tough place to go. We know they're a decent team, and I think you keep yourself tight at the back and you try to be clinical up front, and hopefully that works out in your favour, as it did against Swansea when we were really impressive. So I imagine that's the blueprint for this weekend.
Some interesting team selection dilemmas ahead of David Moyes, not least will Wayne Rooney be fit? He was, of course, named in the England squad. That would hint that he should be OK to play Sunderland.
Yeah, I think, David Moyes, he made the point that he was going to put him on the bench anyway, before the game.
Yeah.
So I think...
It was just a shin injury, wasn't it? He said a shin collision with Welbeck in training.
So I think it was probably just a precaution, really. And he did say that he hopes he's going to be fit for this Saturday. So, again, he's a key player for us to have involved. And I think if we get him involved and get him controlling the match, we're in a decent position.
He could line up against Van Persie again, which is a partnership we haven't seen too much. But one partnership I think is massive for us and doesn't get enough praise is that Rafael and Valencia played together again on Wednesday night.
Yeah, they got a good rapport, haven't
I think
they?
That's huge. I think they're brilliant together. And I think there was a phase of games last season, it was 10 to 12 games, where they played every game together and forged a real alliance. And I think if they can get that going again, I think it should be beneficial.
I think Rafael is a really key player for us because I think he just brings this energy to us, not just going forward. I think he's a really underrated defender as well, and I think having his sort of pace and his positional awareness, I think he's really improved as a player, and I think he's really important alongside the two central defenders as well. So I think he's great to have him back.
And what about the midfield positions? Obviously, he's trying to get Fellaini and Carrick having an understanding to be the two holding players.
I think so, yeah, and I think that's important, a base for David Moyes to allow the players in front of that to really attack and to be sort of fluid and moving around, and I think that's what he's trying to do. I think Fellaini's just trying to get his match sharpness right at the moment. I think we've not seen
just to be a Man United player as well.
Yeah, think we've not seen the best of him so far, but I think he can be an important player for us. And obviously Carrick's been, very very steady and still sort of turning in his good performances as well. So
I think Fellaini's admitted himself, hasn't he, in the press conference unveiling that he was quite surprised by the pace of training. And I think he will take a little bit of time to adjust to that. I mean, because let's face it, he's been training an Everton squad that's basically been bare bones. So they've had 16 good players, whereas at United you have 25 internationals, a handful of which are world class. So it is a step up. But I think he'll come good. I think the manager said as well, he's played Fellaini and he wants him to retain the ball and give it to the players, as you say, Ben, give it to the players who can go forward and do something creative. And I think sometimes fans might mistake that for not doing enough, but that role is crucial to a team doing well, so
absolutely.
I expect him to do well.
I guess it's just finding the balance then in front of that, what you do there. I mean, you would probably say that Rooney in that central position, that's where you'd like to see him play. Van Persie in front of that, this is giving first choice. And then it's just what you do in some of the wide positions. I think we've got some really good options there. I think it's great to have Nani back because I think he's capable of that moment of brilliance, and he's one of those players that, when you look at all our other wingers, I don't think they've got that same quality just to produce something out of nothing. Our other wingers have other qualities, but he's another important player for us.
Certainly is. Okay, let's now hear from inside the United camp as the Reds prepare to bounce back against Sunderland.
Long trip, I suppose that's just part of the course in the Champions League. Is it a factor though, 4-hour flight, didn't get back till quite late on Thursday night?
I think we're used to this as a squad now. It's part and parcel of it, always travelling. Obviously it's not ideal, but I think we're all used to it now. And with our recovery team and the sports science guys do a really good job in turning us over for the next game.
Lots of critics around at the moment. People seem to be having a bit of a field day at United's expense. I mean, do you ignore it all, or do you take any of it on board? Or
yeah, obviously he's trying to block it out. If we're in this position in May, then I'd be concerned. But we've come back from worse than this before, and I'm sure we'll be there or thereabouts.
I mean, do the players think they should be doing better at this point, or is it just one of those things, a difficult start to the campaign in its early days?
Yeah, obviously we can always do better. The results have been a bit poor recently, but Wednesday was a good solid point and somewhere we can build off now and just look forward, really. We've had some tough fixtures, but the next game's always the most important, and we're looking forward to Sunderland.
It's stats time, but Nick Kopak is on holiday, so Adam Bostock has stepped in to provide us with all of the best stats ahead of the weekend. Watch this space.
There's no Nick Kopak this week. He's busy sorting his collection of 1980s Australian pop albums into alphabetical order, starting, of course, with Angry Anderson. But never mind, I'm Adam Bostock, and here's my stats rundown ahead of the weekend's game. United go to Sunderland, seeking to bounce back from two straight defeats in the Barclays Premier League against Manchester City and West Brom. The Reds have not lost three on the spin in the league since November 2001, when Sir Alex Ferguson's side lost to London trio Arsenal, Chelsea and West Ham. You might think that a trip to the division's bottom place club is the perfect way for the Reds to get back on track. Lying in wait is a Sunderland team with just one lonely point from six games, a goal difference of minus 10, and only a caretaker manager in charge for the time being, with all due respect to Kevin Ball. The Reds are unbeaten in 10 visits. The last defeat there was 13 years ago. Unlucky for Dwight York on that occasion, as the striker was sent off, having scored earlier in the match. You have to go back even further to find the last time the Reds lost to Sunderland away in the league, back in March 1997. And perhaps an even better stat is that United have conceded just four goals in 13 Premier League meetings with Sunderland. There haven't been too many goals at the other end either. This fixture is less of a goal fest, more of a snooze fest. A bit like this script, actually. Half of the last 12 matches between United and Sunderland have ended in 1-0 wins to the Reds. 1-0 will do on Saturday, of course. Any victory, in fact, after those back-to-back defeats we mentioned.
Much, much better than Nick Kopak and his, frankly, quite useless stats. Well done, Adam. Anyway, thanks to Ben Hibbs and Mark Froggatt for joining me for this Matchday podcast. Thanks to you guys at home for listening as well. Remember, you can keep up to date with the Barclays Premier League champions via manunited.com, Google+, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Good luck to United at the Stadium of Light, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye.